Wow, so this is the Hellfire Gala. This is pretty swanky.
This is fancy.
This is a big deal.
I can't believe they invited us.
Well,
I can't believe anybody listens to us.
I mean, you've looked at the geographical data on our thing. You'd see it's big in the part of the Pacific Ocean.
That's true. Big in Krakoa. Exactly.
I don't know about these outfits. Yeah. I feel like mine has a lot more armholes than I have arms. I feel like maybe I got, I don't know, forearms outfit, and he might have mine.
That could be awkward for him.
It's awkward for me. I've got big holes just on my sides.
Looks like you're making a rib statement.
I am. You can't see mine.
I mean, it's not that bad compared to what some of us are wearing. And I'm looking at you, Merc.
Yeah, all I could find was like a leftover pirate costume from the Starjammers.
Yeah, it's just the waist up, though.
Yeah, there's no pants at all. I mean,
it's easy breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Whew. It's the tropical climate, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Fashion is risky. They'll be like doing this at the Met Gala before you know it, you know?
I'm just going to tell people that, you know, like my mutant power is to make pants invisible.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Lie on a place covered in telepaths.
That's my second mutant power.
And speaking of support, that is a lot of bondage, Bri.
Well, thank you very much. It took me a long time to squeeze into it. A lot of straps. Forearm helped me out, actually, so I could have asked him, like, hey, don't get mixed up with, like, Kyle's garment bag. So
is he over there wearing a V-neck and a hoodie?
He is.
Forearm.
He looks great.
But he also is not wearing pants.
He just ripped his other arm. He ruined your hoodie. He just ripped your arm.
But you know what? It looks good on him. I don't know.
It does. I can't even be mad.
I'm sort of thinking that maybe I shouldn't have, at the last minute, thrown on like a red cape and a headdress to make it a Scarlet Witch themed bondage outfit, because everyone is giving me the stink eye around here, and I don't know what it is.
Eek. No more costumes.
No more costumes.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Who would like to say hello?
Hey!
There we go.
There we go. Hey! Welcome to the show. I am one third of your hostesses with the mostesses, Merc.
I am Bri. I'm still Bri, and I always will be Bri.
And I'm two-fifths of your host, Kyle.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Nothing. No, that's fine.
Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Don't make me do the math.
Checks out.
Please don't make me do the math on that. I don't want to feel bad.
You gotta cross multiply.
Well, that's news to me. And you know what's news to you? Oh, God. Just do it.
Do it.
Go to the news.
Become the news.
You and me. Adopted the news. I was born. No. Played out.
Current Zero News Flash.
So, what is in the news? Open the paper, open it up, see what's in there. Don't read Dennis the Menace. He's fine.
Nothing new is happening with Dennis the Menace, so it's just a sad formula.
Except J. Jonah Jameson is after him now, because he's a menace.
Well, he is a menace.
Menace!
It's true. Yeah. It's in the name. You can't be surprised by this development. Dennis, just be reasonable. So we're going to start the news off.
Dennis, be reasonable. The new wrestler that everybody's talking about. Dentist, be reasonable.
Dentist, be reasonable.
I mean, I am going to fight you. That is part of my job. My other job, though, is being a dentist. So
I am going to knock your teeth out, but I'll fix them afterwards.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, Bri, you have news.
Yes, I'm here to offer you my customary emotional whiplash, where we go from stupid jokes to something very sad. John Paul Leon, who, or Leon, the very popular artist who's been working in comics for decades, has just passed away on May 2nd after a 14-year battle with cancer. Obviously very, very sad. He was, you know, a phenomenal artist. He kind of came up...
He was amazing.
The master.
I just really. Gotta interject. He is so good. So good.
Just to give a little bit of a sort of his sort of story, I guess, but he studied at the School of Visual Arts in New York City under Walter Simonson and Will Eisner. So, wow. I mean, he was literally trained by legends, and, you know, he became one as far as I'm concerned. I think the first work he did was, like, RoboCop, like some RoboCop thing, and he was the artist on Static, Earth-X, Further Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, and drew for, like, a great number of characters since then, like X-Men, all sorts of stuff. He also drew the style guides for Warner Brothers for Superman Returns, Batman Begins, and The Dark Knight. So he was, like, a visual influence on, like, some big... the Batman movies more than the Superman movie as far as, like, legacy, I suppose. But
Fair.
But, you know, still, I thought looked quite nice. So he was diagnosed, like, back in 2007, and he took, like, chemo and radiation and surgery and fought it and was cancer-free as of 2012. Unfortunately, 6 years later, 2018, it did resurface, and unfortunately, he didn't win this fight, but he obviously leaves an absolute ton of incredible work. I feel like he's one of those artists that, like, everybody loved and respected.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, is I saw so many people giving him accolades, yeah. And not just for his amazing artwork, which they absolutely did, but they were all just singing his praises, that he is just one of the single nicest guys in comics, that he was just such a down-to-earth, super nice, approachable guy that helped people out. Anybody had a question or whatever, or was, like, really collaborative to work with and was very, like, trusting and just open to everything that was going on. And, yeah, just everybody had a story. So
absolutely
sad, but good to hear.
The best possible legacy anyone could ever leave, I think, when, you know, your work and your humanity are equally honored.
Equally applauded, yeah.
Exactly.
Moving on.
Okay, moving on to exciting news. Pivot, Let's talk about happy stuff. There was a big teaser, MCU kind of weird teaser trailer, nod to the past and nod to the future sort of thing that just came out shortly ago, and kind of looking at, like, the previous movies as it led up till now, and then looking a little bit beyond. So there was Black Panther Wakanda Forever, so they've...
Yes.
I don't know if we knew that that was the actual title or not. I don't think we did.
I think that was basically how we found out.
Yeah.
It makes sense, then, I think, to kind of go, you know, wider into Wakanda under the circumstances. It seems like a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then the Marvels... which we're all assuming, and probably easily so, that it's going to be Captain Marvel 2. I'm curious, I immediately thought, like, oh, it's going to be,
Kamala?
From the Wanda Vision.
Oh, well, she will be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Monica.
I assumed that was going to be the Captain Marvel, but then... Yeah, just like, oh, is it Ms. Marvel? Oh, is it, like...
You have three.
Oh, I guess there's, like, a whole bunch they can just choose from. And so, yeah. That could be an
well, I mean, yeah, you got Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, and someone who was Captain Marvel, which that's good for me to hear, I think. Well, yeah, Monica was done really well in WandaVision. I'm hoping that she really gets that level of respect, considering it kind of excises her time in that role. But I'm like, oh, I guess they're going to... probably touch on that if that's the name of the movie and it's, like, starring the three of them.
If that is, like, we really don't know much about it beyond the name. But, and then, of course, the big part of it was actual teaser clips from The Eternals, which is...
Yeah.
There's been absolutely... Other than, like, some costume designs and stuff and some drawings, there's really been nothing
But even that, it. Like, there was very little. We got to see, a couple of group shots of them and, you know, one shot of how vascular... Camille has become.
There's what?
I can't get used to it.
He's like, you're the stupid now, dog.
So, Chloe Zhao is the director of it, and she just won Best Director at the Academy Awards for Nomadland. So, it's big accolades. And there's been, like, Kevin Feige, among others, have been saying, like, this is going to be an amazing movie. Although, like, how much... Not that it probably isn't going to be a great movie, but when the people are putting on the movie to say, oh, it's going to be an amazing movie, do you go, oh, is that really, is that unbiased? I don't know, but...
The thing is, though,
I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
The Eternals always seem like kind of a hard sell to me, but I mean, so would have the Guardians of the Galaxy at one point, and it seems like they got a good talent of, like, plucking a specific talent at the exact perfect moment, just to be like, boom, you're blowing up now, and this is going to blow up with you, and it's going to be something awesome. The fact that you just won the Oscar, I'm like, damn, dude, you did it again.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe.
And I think someone of her caliber and talent, just and being able to do it, approaching it like the Eternals being more an international, multiracial, like a big mix of people from all over the world sort of thing, it's having somebody of her caliber.
I'm imagining it as very like... fourth world, almost like that Masters of the Universe movie. I'm hoping that it has a somewhat similar feel to that.
All right, I'm interested. I'm listening.
Yeah, just that, but know, like, just, but good.
You just kind of lost me for the
Lundgren? That, but good.
Yeah,
like a good version.
Like a good version. Yeah,
it's you can imagine it with your brain. I'm sure.
It feels like that was the end of that. There's the period on that sentence.
Comes out of that. Yep, there we go.
I'll be back.
So Invincible, which recently debuted, and a lot of people are into it.
The first season just ended.
Right, and before it ended, and that's what the news will be in a second. A lot of people are probably, there's like memes all over the place. I haven't seen it yet. I read some of Invincible like back in the day, and I just, you know. So, I'll check it out soon. I can't speak to anything. But it did get renewed for season 2 and season 3 before the first season ended. So, obviously, it's hitting a chord and a lot of people liking it. And they got a lot of faith in it. And that's how I'm going to deliver
that. I watched the whole season pretty much week to week. I think I didn't watch the first couple episodes because I was like, it's Invincible. I don't care. And I don't specifically care now. it was well produced, well written. There weren't really a lot of like, well, this is dumb sort of stuff in it. I enjoyed it. Check it out. And I say it's worth the credit that it's getting now, and it's reaching that bigger audience that it probably didn't in its original comic book run.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Cause now it's on Amazon, right?
Exactly.
And you know what? I think that's how sometimes how Amazon seems to be working is that they're often like, oh, we have something. Let's green light seasons 2 and 3. I think they've done that a couple of times. Because I don't think they don't have a ton of original content on there. So when they find something that's working, like, let's do it. Let's just hone on to that. So
you know what? I watched the first 3 episodes of Jupiter's Legacy last night. Better than that. Better than that.
Really?
It's not bad.
I was looking,
but it's like
I did not even realize it actually hit Netflix.
I don't want to see Josh Duhamel reviewing with a fake Santa beard. It looks terrible. It's like if this is a fake beard, you can make this fake beard look like whatever you want. You didn't. Nobody wants it to look like that. You made it look like what nobody wants.
I'm kind of half and half on Mark Millar and his stuff. Yeah. But I really do like Jupiter's Legacy. I thought it was done really well. So
I know you do, and I'm sorry.
No, we'll see how it translates. Yeah. But well.
Again, I'm only like 3 episodes in, so.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because that all dropped at the same day. And it's like, oh, yeah, things used to do that. And they don't really do it so much anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm very okay with it. I don't got time right away. Come on.
No. Do you have 12 hours to spare doing nothing but absorbing this content?
But you don't have to watch it all in one shot just because it came out in one shot.
No, yes, but you kind of do, especially with like modern spoilers. You do.
Yeah, you're going to find out the ending of the season like literally before you have a chance to watch the first episode. Like, that sucks. So, yeah. I love the week to week. I love the... Oh, and on that note, it wasn't in my notes, but I think they announced that Loki is coming about a little earlier than intended.
Right.
On June... Oh, was it June 9th or something? Oh, boy.
Starting on Wednesdays. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's starting on... on Wednesdays, which is cool. I thought it's cute because it's like, that's new comic book day. That's lovely. Mm-hmm. And I sort of realized, like, getting up, you know, like... you know, getting up early to watch the new WandaVision and stuff like that. I'm like, it's giving me that same kind of thing. Like, what's new? What's new at the shop? You know what I mean? Like, here's the next part of the story every week. That's awesome. Just, it's literally just a TV schedule, but they've somehow managed to make it feel different.
God, could you imagine if they released episodes monthly? Oh, the internet. No. Not, please no.
No.
Please never.
Very quickly and really weirdly, I didn't even know this movie was coming out. There's a Red Sonja movie. Ba-ba!
Yeah! That's Merc news.
Like, an offshoot of Conan from the Conan comics. There was a movie of Red Sonja with Brigitte Nielsen in the 80s or so.
Right.
Which was horrific. It was horrific. And they couldn't get the rights to Conan, so Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it as Conan, but they just gave him a different name.
Oh, my God.
They couldn't use Conan.
You couldn't name him?
I'm Derek.
No, I'm Comam.
So, yeah, it's been cast, or at least the character of Red Sonja has been cast. It's Hannah John Kamin, who is Red Sonja. She best known probably from Ant-Man 2, the villain character, Ghost, in that. She's also been in, like, she was in The New Dark Crystal. She's been in Black Mirror, The Stranger, Brave New World. She was apparently had a part in Tomb Raider and Ready Player One as well. The Red Sonja is going to be directed by Joel Soloway, and he's also co-writing it with Tasha Hu, and who's the showrunner for the Netflix Tomb Raider series that's coming out, which I also didn't know was coming out.
Didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
We're learning a lot. A lot is sort of coming out here.
This is the part of the show where we learn things, and the rest of the show is the part where we just look at our hands.
Yeah.
On a podcast.
I like to actively kill those brain cells.
I'm looking at my hands as I take a drink.
Yeah.
Anyways, shall we go warm up?
Mm-hmm. I think we should.
Welcome to the warm up.
So, I have a brand new warm up and I'm trying something out.
What's it called?
I'll get to that in a second. But we all love music. Everybody loves music. Everybody loves different kinds of music, different bands, different genres.
Here we go.
So, the idea here is I'm going to name some characters, and you're going to tell me what they listen to, like whether it's bands or genres, artists, songs, whatever, link it to something, that sort of thing. And because of that, I'm calling this Jukebox Zero. Jukebox Zero! And that's my song.
All right.
I like that song. Thank you for giving it a song.
More singing, more dancing, please. That's what this podcast needs.
All right, I'll name a character, and if you can think of something cool, if not, pass. We can just jump right on.
No time.
You'd be like bullshit. I got nothing. Here's an easy one to start with. Human Torch.
Ooh.
Now, some of these I have ideas for. Some of them I don't.
Yeah, 2000s Rockabilly Revival.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, wow.
He loves the Brian Setzer Orchestra. He loves the Cherry Poppin' Daddies, and he loves any other
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Squirrel Net Zippers.
I was thinking like he's just in his garage working on his car, and he's just listening to a mixtape that is just Hot for Teacher on loop.
That or We Wouldn't Start the Fire.
Yeah, yeah. He throws that in there once just to sort of keep himself on his toes.
And also, does he like the Prodigy? Oh, just the one song. Just the one. That song, of course, being Smack My Bitch Up.
Exhale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a man. He's a man who knows his brand, I think. And more power to him, I guess.
Who's with you?
I don't know. He just keeps saying he's the fire starter.
Guido, the strong guy.
He's literally exclusively listening to Smash Mouth. I think that much is pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he celebrates the entire catalog.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's not just it's not just All Star and Walking on the Sun. He's got some deep dives there.
He likes that other one from Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in the video, I think.
That one.
That's right. You know. You know she was.
She
and
was
so
definitely
was he.
In that video. And he was in that video. And it's just like, all right, buddy, just be cool.
Booster and Beetle.
Ooh. Like hillbilly music.
Really? I just had, like, the Night at the Roxbury soundtrack on loop.
Yeah, well, that's modern hillbilly music.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes, every now and then, on one of their adventures, they just hear the Deliverance music, and they're just like, oh, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into this time?
They immediately do the, like, the neck pull. Yeah. Oh, my God.
For sure. They look right at the camera. It's like, but what? That's the world they live in, and bless them.
Rorschach.
Oh, God.
I don't think he likes music.
That's what I said. I was like, no music, just crime podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true
definitely.
Crime.
Yeah, yeah.
True crime podcast.
The most disturbing of crime.
Yes. True. Wait a second. This is a fictional crime. Someone just wrote, they made it up.
That would be the modern take, I think, as he's listening to all these, like, what happened, and like, oh, and we never found out, and he's like, I'm gonna find out.
He actually loves Joe Rogan.
That would explain a lot.
It does. It explains so much. Oh, yeah. He definitely would be like reading some Jordan Peterson books in between committing horrors.
No.
DMT, 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 DMT.
Clean up your room.
The question.
Oh, no. Okay, there is a difference.
To Rorschach's podcast. He's like, this guy's f***ing nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I wonder if he likes Joe Rogan. Yeah.
Ooh, no, he doesn't like Joe Rogan. He wouldn't trust Joe Rogan. But the question is smart Rorschach, so he's doing better.
I just had songs. Do you really want to hurt me?
Ooh.
Culture Club. Mm-hmm. Should I stay or should I go? How will I know? What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Who let the dogs out?
That too.
Gotta find out who let
brother,
those dogs out.
Brother, where are they? Soundtrack? The whole soundtrack?
Just the whole thing.
And the entire catalog of the Who? My work here is done. Kyle just shakes his head.
You're scum. You're scum.
I had to go for the easy one.
Military upheavals in the third world. Actors elected to public office.
The spread of coffee bars, germs outpacing antibiotics, and boy bands? Come on. Who would gain from all this? Who indeed?
Namor.
Ooh.
Jimmy Buffett?
That would be good, yeah.
You don't really see. Yeah, oh yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Billy Ocean.
Yeah, the Beach Boys.
Fishbone.
Surf and Safari.
Moist. Yeah.
Fish.
Moist would be good. Moist would be good. I assume like.
Oh, Ocean City Defender.
Yeah!
There we go.
He's a boy. When he's feeling particularly like teenage angsty, he like just puts on the Tea Party Temptation video. It's like, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'm wet and moody and sexy. It's like, is that sexy? I don't know if that's sexy. Like,
I'm wet and moody and sexy. Yeah,
I'm wearing leather pants in
the
sewer.
I think
like,
we have an episode
doing?
Title.
I mean, if you don't think that video is just the most erotic piece of art.
Yeah.
That modern Western society has ever created, then I don't know what we're doing hosting a show together.
I think that guy from the Tea Party had several infections after that video, is what I think. he needed a lot of shots and a lot of pills.
Yep. Yep.
That was gross.
Well, I have a whole bunch, but I'm just going to end with this one.
I would like to do this one again. Oh,
it's great.
You can do it again, then. Ultimate Blob.
Oh no.
And for those that don't remember, that's Ultimate Blob was the one he people's heads off.
And yeah.
Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That makes sense, right? If he's like edgy. I mean like that.
Well
kind
yeah,
of
he's
edgy.
Ultimate Blob. He's extremely edgy.
He's extremely edgy. I was just thinking
extremely
like
round.
He's a very gross dude with no regard for human life, so I assume he listens to Ted Nugent.
I was thinking Kid Rock, who is basically Ted Nugent.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah,
dirt
the same
bag,
guy.
Gotta be like dirtbag shit. Very dirtbag.
He also
shit.
He listens to Chris Gaines, but 616 Blob listens to Garth Brooks.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense. That makes sense. Huh. I like
Not
it.
Not the Fine Young Cannibals.
Well, I mean, like it's a little on the nose, but he's also a gross dummy, so
Mm-hmm.
He's not subtle. He's not subtle. Why would you be subtle? No. Your ultimate flaw.
Exactly. That is all I've got.
Mm.
Well, I do have more, but that's all you're getting.
That's all we get today.
We gotta leave him wanting more. Showbiz.
And you know what? Something else I want more of?
Oh.
I want more coffee from our wonderful sponsor, Rosencrantz.
Woo!
Rosencrantz Roasting Company.
They're good.
Where the approach is, love the coffee you drink and drink the coffee you love. And you're going to love their coffee.
You absolutely will. It's locally roasted here in Thunder Bay. Their focus is on freshness and community. If you need your coffee fix, you should look into their coffee subscriptions. Never run out of that sweet Java again. They have a lot ready for you. So customize that for your home coffee experience. Get frequency discounts. It just makes sense.
You can find them online at rnccoffee.ca and on Facebook and Instagram at rnccoffee. There's convenient home delivery and shipping options available for online orders, or you can find them at any one of their many community partners here in Thunder Bay. The full list of locations is online on that website, which again is rnccoffee.ca.
And since you're listening to this, you can order online with a special Zero Issues gift code and get 10% off. Just enter Zero Issues, all lowercase, all one word, to get that.
You know, a lot of podcasts, when they have a sponsorship deal with a thing, their gift code is all capitals.
Oh, really?
But you know what? We do things a little different, a little quirky, here in northwestern Ontario, and that's the sort of quality flavor that you're gonna get from Rosencrantz. The quirky
Plus
flavor.
My shift button.
The quirkiest
flavor. The
shift
flavor. Button on my keyboard's broken.
You know
so
what?
I can't do caps.
Shift your expectations. That's their new thing. It's no longer it's no longer drink the coffee you love the coffee you drink. It's shift your expectations.
Shift the coffee you love
and it's
drink the coffee
it's
you
spelled
shift.
Out in the alternate things that happen when you hold the shift numbers. So
it's all in wingdings.
Yeah, thank
yes.
you. You made sense of my gibberish.
I
actually,
like,
that's
like...
the new slogan. You made sense of my gibberish.
That's our slogan, and we will never follow up on that.
You made gibberish right. of my sense.
What the f***?
So we've done this one a few times. We've tried to fix Colossus and failed, and we've gone back in time to do it again. No, that's not true. We've just done a few of these things where we try to fix a character who might not necessarily be broken.
The looks of genuine confusion really were great. Yeah. I'm like, I get
we
it.
We try this
I mean,
every 6 months. We try to fix Colossus.
Yeah. It's X-Men has time travel stuff. Just lean into it.
Yeah.
And Merc has early set Alzheimer's, so that could have happened, and I just have no recollection of it.
He spent the last half hour like running around the room screaming, "Doctor!"
So yeah, we've got a couple pitches for things that you could do with Colossus that aren't boring, hopefully.
Hopefully.
In comparison to, you know, a lot of stories that, you know, focus on Colossus in the last 20 years.
Hey, what I got here? Hey, why are you calling me boring?
Merc is playing with a Colossus toy.
Let's make them kiss.
Guy is
let's
also
make...
playing with a Colossus toy.
Let's make them kiss.
And I'm here with Colossus toys.
The old one. What is this Secret Wars? I think that's where it's from. Eh? Is it that?
Probably,
I
yeah.
think so.
And if he's got a little thing on his back and it lifts both his arms because his hands are cupped upwards
He comes with a set of weights.
But if you don't have the weights and you just move his hands, it just looks like he's Italian. He's like, hey, what is going on here? Hey, what are you doing? Italian Colossus. That's how you fix this character.
The original Colossus of Rhodes.
Zinger.
I would like to apologize to all of our Italian listeners.
And I would like to apologize to all our Colossus listeners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Colossus just crushing his phone and throwing it against the wall.
He's got his headphones on, just a single tear rolling down his metal cheek. Rusting it. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. Mm.
Now, who would like to go first?
Well, not me, but what is there to...
Not me, no.
Yeah, I guess we should preface it by saying, like, what are the issues with Colossus? Why right. do we think he needs fixing?
He's a good character. He's interesting. Mm-hmm. I really like them, but I just find he's used very strangely. He's always, he's hard to do the way they've set him up to do as a solo character. Whereas, like, a lot like Wolverine and Cyclops and Storm, whatever, you could put them in their own books and they can carry that book. There's enough, I don't know if it's like enough dynamics in the character or what, because he does. He's got a lot of history and he's got some different things going on that could work. But I just find he ends up coming flat. And I'm not even really sure why that is. Why?
Well, he's often like the stiff, he's kind of a stiff presence amongst the cast. So he doesn't really, like, he has a good purpose in a team.
He's like the straight man.
Yeah. Well, he's got a good purpose in a team, but he's like, that doesn't translate into being like a compelling solo character. There are ways it can. But they just generally don't pursue it, in my opinion, anywhere consistently enough.
I mean, he's literally very stiff. I don't know why.
He's seized up. He's seized up.
Like, you know, he's got two sides.
He's like the one, Tin Man. Yeah, he just needs a little oil.
One is I am big, strong Russian man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's
you're
like
not.
A farm.
You're not. Don't say you're sorry if you're not.
I'm not sorry at all. Yeah, well, he serves like that role. He's like he's like the strong kind of stoic kind of guy generally.
But he's also very sensitive.
Very sensitive. Yeah, he's a sensitive artist. You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But
That's one of the things.
Yeah, neither of those things though could be dynamic. Like Wolverine's on the team. Like, what are you? You know, people are going to be drawn to that energy.
He needs to be in a setting where he's playing off people. He can't just be by himself. So, which is not a bad thing. Some characters are just like that. Like going back to the artist thing, I'm just reading through, and I've mentioned this numerous times in the past year, I'm going through old comics, and I'm going through old X-Men stuff right now. And I got to a point, like it's right, the Siege Perilous stuff, like when they're going to become the Australian Outback X-Men.
Yeah.
And I'm missing a couple issues, so I'm not sure exactly what happened, but basically, he suddenly got bigger, and they actually acknowledge it. They're like, he's bigger, and he's stronger, and it's like, oh, okay, that's cool, but then he's also, like, I guess he'd been injured a bit, and he was just in human form, just, like, drawing on the side, and some kids are coming up, and I'm like, oh, that's a cool, like, interaction with this character, because I realized, like, they haven't really featured him at all in the X number of issues. And then all of a sudden this happens and it's like, oh, then he's becomes a bigger player. But even then, like it just never seemed to kind of materialize any further than that. Like it was always just a hint of promise and then it's gone.
Right. Okay. Well, with that in mind, should we jump into our sort of pitches for what we would do if we could just play with the character?
For sure.
Sure. Bri doesn't want to go first.
I'll go second, if you're cool with that.
I'll go first. And I'm worried. You were talking about the Siege Perilous, and I'm like, I wonder if, like, I know you're reading around that area.
I have nothing to, my pitch has nothing to do with Siege Perilous.
So after the whole, you know, the Outback issues, they were, like, their minds were all sort of erased, and they became these new people, and Colossus was he became Peter Nicholas, who was a fairly successful artist, and what happened there was after the Shadow King took him over, Xavier sort of had to break that Peter Nicholas personality so that Colossus could come back and fight back against this. But when he did that, they just sort of left this Peter Nicholas guy who had a whole life and like was a person.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I want to...
It's like that episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah. Damn it.
No, but it's still...
Forgot about
like,
that.
The, you know, this isn't the same thing, because that's like a kind of Time Lord-y kind of a thing. This is like more of a human level, I think.
It is kind of the same thing, because my pitch is... So that character died, or that person died.
That personality.
Even though they didn't really. Yeah. And, but, you know, right when they died, before news really got out of it... Before news really got out that person, Peter Nicholas, had died, Sebastian Shaw went and bought all of his art. Because now that he's dead, that stuff is worth a mint.
Oh, for sure.
So Sebastian Shaw, owner of all of Peter Nicholas's art, is just getting richer and richer from it. And Colossus is like, he, you know, he's just this, you know, he comes from like a small farm in, yes, in the USSR. Colossus is telling me, hurry up, hurry up.
No. Like, hey,
come on.
What are you doing in my yard?
Make it with the story.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm gonna win. So, what with the state of the Russian countryside in the past 20 years, his family's kind of fallen on hard times, you know, one brother dead, another sibling is a spooky witch lady.
Yeah.
Demoness.
But we like her.
And Colossus needs to, you know, pay for the family farm, and he's got to get money. And where's some easily available money? His old art that isn't really him, but his body made it. So he's gonna take Sebastian Shaw to court, and it's gonna be
oh, that's interesting.
And but so
I thought he would just know. Like if he needed money, he'd just shake Warren.
Well, yeah, continue. But then you gotta worry about molting, and pick through. So, you really want to pick through like bird droppings for loose change?
We got feathers all over the place, but like every now and then one of the feathers is a razor blade, and that's just he'd be fine, but
this is like a regular feather to me.
In so never mind.
In Russia, this is money.
Yes. So it deals with, you know, what happens when an artist dies and that sort of you know, cult of death surrounding artists where you're not worth anything until you're dead. And also what happens when someone dies suddenly and leaves a big hole in people's lives, because this guy, you know, like the Doctor Who thing, he had a life. Exactly. He was a normal person who knew people and had relationships with people. And those people might, you know, still be around and still mourning this guy who wasn't even really real in the first place.
Yeah.
So yeah, they get into a legal battle over it, and it's a really, you know, sort of moral existential thing. You know, who owns the work of a dead person when the dead person isn't technically dead? And then you get into the whole you know, state of how mutants are now, where they're all functionally immortal.
Oh boy.
And there's, you know, there's more to this. Like, oh, if somebody dies, do they automatically forfeit all their property?
Wow.
And
it's a Highlander thing. Yeah. They just pass it on to somebody, and they pass it on to themselves.
And if you want to add a little bit of action to it, Phantom X could be, you know, stealing art, because that's what he does.
He does do that.
And Colossus could just, you know, snap him in half. You'll be back tomorrow.
raise some questions.
Like, I must break you.
If you can bring someone back to life, do you feel more okay about killing them? That's a question.
No.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. That's good.
Because, you know, he doesn't just have to smash stuff all the time. We have a rich versus poor dichotomy. We've got all sorts of... I'm very smart. I'll have you know.
I'm going to... If I can lead into mine, actually, that actually wasn't the worst segue. Because mine, I was sort of like... I was thinking at first, like, okay, I like Colossus. Like, I like Colossus a lot, but I'm just like, there's certain aspects, much like we talked about, there were sort of, he can come a little cold to you sometimes, I think. Like, he seems a little dull compared to other characters, and I don't think that's necessarily, I think that's just, you know, he's maybe has, like, depth to him that doesn't come across quite as immediately. So I sort of thought about, like, you know, just what my appeal is, and I think of him as, like, the sensitive artist, and I think of him as just being, like, rather upright and rather, like, you know, seems to have, like, a strong sense of honor. And well, not always. Sometimes he breaks a girl's heart, but he tries his best. So, I think of Superman constantly because that's my ideal, but he's literally, like, a farm boy, a big, strapping, dark-haired farm boy, who is literally a man of steel. So I mean,
yes,
like, that
thank
feels,
you for getting to that.
It feels like that was always kind of an intentional, like, there's a reason they made him a farm boy and he's literally made of organic steel. It's kind of a joke a little bit. But, you know, there are similar qualities there that I think you could lean into in a very different way. I'm just sort of...
In a storyline called Red Sun.
Yes, there you go. Ah, damn it, it's been done. It's all been done. Mine is very different. I'm thinking of,
So Colossus's spaceship, crash land.
Yeah, yes, yes. Well, I'm thinking a little bit more of, like, different eras, maybe, but, so he, not long before the current run with, like, House of X and all that, he was, like, he was supposed to get married to Kitty, and that didn't happen. And then, you know, the whole thing, the whole Krakoa thing happens, obviously. And he's, you know, he's in the mix around there. But I just feel like him in particular, I could see him maybe not feeling terribly comfortable with that situation, with that whole, like, this weird off here magic kingdom kind of, like, existence they got going on. Like, he's a simple farm boy. His feet are firmly on the ground. And he's been through a lot of crap. Like, he's a very, like, he starts off as, like, that kind of wide-eyed farm boy, sort of like, oh, look at America. Oh, look at this. Oh, was kind of an initial appeal.
Coca-Cola!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have sugar?
But since then, he's been, like, literally through, like, hell and back. Literally, he's been, like, dead and brought back. He went through, like, so much struggle as an X-Man and just, like, through so much stuff. I mean, like, you think of what happened to his sister, what she suffered through, and, like, he is ultimately at his heart of heart, like, a protector. You know what I mean? That's how he feels to me. He wants to protect the innocent. He's very empathetic. And that's what his real power is. He's a strong man. So I'm thinking, like, what he does, he feels some disconnected from the X-Men, maybe not too comfortable with how things are at Krakoa. He's having, you know, he was almost got married and that fell through, and he sort of like doesn't know where he belongs anymore, kind of a thing, and he sort of needs to rediscover himself. So I kind of thought, like, instead of like him being in the mix with the X-Men, he'd sort of just leave. Like, I need to like figure my stuff out. He moves to he goes back to New York, but he sets up a little art studio in Mutant Town in New York City.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's in New York, I think, right? Yeah. So it's like a mutant neighborhood, basically, that's like kind of, you know, some rough stuff can go on there. It's their own little, like, particular area of the city. And I'm sure that, you know, mutants are not looked on too fondly by a lot of people to this day, obviously. And there's a lot of rough stuff going on there. And he's kind of just living there as this Russian farm boy in, like, kind of a rougher area, maybe, of New York. And he just kind of, you know, he's at first just, like, doing art. So that'll be an ongoing project where he has, like, mutants that live in Mutant Town. And they pose for him. And he, like, draws these beautiful, like, or draws or like paints, and he makes these like beautiful like portraits of mutants in all of their forms. You know what I mean? And some of them are like pretty normal looking, and some of them are like very, you know, otherly looking and stuff like that. And he's like really just trying to find the beauty in them. And that's sort of like an ongoing project. And that's how he wants to discover himself. But meanwhile, a lot of bad stuff is happening in Mutant Town. Like, I thought Arcade and Mojo team up, and they're sort of like kidnapping or like recruiting like at risk mutant kids in the neighborhood, and they have this whole like elaborate kind of fight club thing going on where they're almost like recreating old X-Men fights, like against Sentinels and against this, through like their combined technologies and ideas, and being like, all right, let's like put like five or six random mutants through something the X-Men went through and see if they can survive it. And Colossus catches wind of that, and he, of course, having been through a lot of that stuff, especially like, you know, literally Arcade like made him the proletariat and all that back in the day.
That
really pisses him off, and he like really,
he's like, "Nyet, not in my town."
Exactly. And that's sort of like what really drives him to become more of a protector of that community, and like to really protect them from stuff. Like, you have like supervillain gentrification and all sorts of weird, you know, you get into some stuff there. And I was thinking as well, if he, for a supporting cast, I wouldn't do any of the usual people. Like, he's not with Kitty at all. Like, you could bring in, like, you know, Wolverine and, like, Kurt and whatever could, like, sort of pop in and see how he's doing every now
pop
and then.
In and out, yep.
But yeah. I would not do that until you've really kind of established him where he is. I was thinking, like, Stevie Hunter maybe has a dance studio in Mutant Town, too.
Okay.
Where she's like,
yeah.
Yeah, and those two have, like, you know, they know each other from back in the day, and they both, I think, would be very dedicated to sort of trying to lift up this community and help people. So she would sort of become his closest friend in the area. You could have, like, Jamie Madrox doing an X-Factor Investigations as sort of a recurring PI guy, whether or not something's going on. And I think you just lean into that. Like, I'm going to say it, bring the beard back. He's got the beard. He's kind of like a sexy, he's like a sexy urban artist dude. He never wears a costume. He's dressed more casually. He's just trying to not be an X-Man.
He just wears overalls. Wears overalls.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, so he's, and that's kind of just what's going on. Like, he's just, he becomes sort of the Mutant Town Colossus, where he's basically like he's Colossus, but he's like a protector of that community. He's like someone who will stand between them and, the people that want to hurt them. And that's kind of just who he becomes, like a big hero, community hero.
That
That's a pretty great pitch of just like that community sort of thing. And then you could bring in a lot of different characters and have it a lot of different ways.
Well, even with Krakoa going on, I mean, like, you know, they have that and everybody's welcome there. But I mean, a lot of people that are like struggling in communities, like that's their community. They wouldn't want to leave.
Exactly.
So I think that like you're going to have a lot of mutants that maybe, you know, could use the help, but they're just like, I'm not going to some weird island. Like, this is where I live. Like, this is where my family lives. This is where I belong. So somebody needs to help them.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyway.
A-okay. I like it. Yep. All right. And mine kind of, and it's actually works well this way, kind of goes off a little what you're saying, of him being the
protector
sort of thing.
Like we planned it.
So here's a little tidbit that I discovered that, and this is actual Marvel comic lore. Peter has a son.
Oh, that's true.
Colossus has a kid, and his name is Peter. He is the son of Colossus and Nereal, who is daughter of the Fall People tribe chief in the Savage Land.
Right.
So that this Peter has only appeared in comics a handful of times, maybe a half dozen times. But I think started in like 1988. Last appearance was in 2006. And nothing. I don't really know much about him other than that.
Well, I think as far as Colossus knows, really, he's not his kid.
That's the thing. Yeah. Colossus does not know that Peter is his child. So we started off. And I wasn't even thinking, weirdly enough, I wasn't even thinking Krakoa and all that stuff. I was just thinking Mansion. But I guess this could be set up as Krakoa, that Peter shows up and is like looking for Colossus. So whether it's like showing up to somewhere that they are in Krakoa or old times in the mansion, knocking on the door sort of thing, shows up. And before anything can really be said, like he might know Peter, but he doesn't know there's that connection. But before anything more can be said, they're attacked by what looks like some of the tribe people from the Savage Land. Peter is kind of scattered in the group and runs. The X-Men are there. They stop the attack. They get one of these attackers, and in under interrogation, this attacker reveals who Peter is. That Peter is your son, and he's come to you. He doesn't really say much more than that, but reveals that his actual identity is your son, and you didn't know that. So Colossus immediately, being the protector sort of guy that he is, immediately leaves in pursuit, goes to track down wherever Peter has run off to, finds... Rather than finding Peter, tracks down more of the Savage Land people, starts to get into a fight. All of a sudden, magic appears, and is like, I'm an ant. I just found out I'm an ant. I'm going with you. We're doing this together. We're family, sort of thing. So nice. It becomes a bit of a family adventure sort of thing. They eventually find Peter, and it becomes awkward. And this is where you see the stiffness of Colossus, of just being kind of like he's not good at expressing himself. He's not good at
classic Scorpio.
Classic metal Scorpio. Mm-hmm. So it's awkward. It's strange, but you can see he's trying. And Peter tells him, he's like, he's actually sought him out because he needs his help. Peter was next in line to become the chief of the Fall People tribe.
Yeah.
But there's been a coup, and now he's had to flee the Savage Land. They're trying to kill him. They've also kidnapped his mother, which is, what's her name, Nereal.
Right.
So he's come to ask, I know who you are, I know you're my father, I know you didn't know this, but I've come to ask for your help. So he needs his help, asks for it, and of course Colossus says yes. The only clue he has to where his mother is some sort of location thing. I didn't work that out. Like, just like it's in San Francisco, or I saw a picture of this, or, you know, just something that gives them a heads up.
There's this big clock. Particular place.
Yeah, exactly. She's behind the clock. So they leave to go rescue. And while they're doing this is like kind of a he attempts to bond with his son that he didn't even know he had, sort of thing. So coming into play is the drawing, and that was always kind of my favorite stuff, as I was saying before, of just like him just being a normal dude and drawing and having that artistic side, that quiet artistic side. Yeah. And so he's like drawing his son and shows it to him. And then they start to talk about things and they open up a little bit. And like,
he's magic like, can be do there. Do you like roller skating? I'm drawing you with roller skate.
Yeah, really. Draws caricatures. Just, why does my head look so big? What? You're a Rasputin. It's going to happen.
Why do you have such a big smile?
So they eventually arrive to wherever it is. And it turns out, the big baddie in this is Mr. Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
He is part of this whole caper. They eventually go in. There's a big battle. They escape with Mom. And they return to the Savage Land to defeat this coup. Sinister is also following along and with other bad guys. I don't know, like throw Sauron in there.
Yeah, of course.
Whenever you go to the Savage Land, you got to have Sauron.
You're going to have Sauron.
It's a package deal.
He wants to make dinosaurs. Garak. He's going to make dinosaurs.
Yeah. Garak, the petrified man, for good measure. I don't know.
Sure.
So there's a big battle. And then at this point, this is where his son, young Peter, reveals that he has a mutation as well that he's inherited.
Six toes.
Somehow similar to Colossus, that he can make six metal toes.
Ah, yes.
I don't know, like something like he's all metal but in a different way, or right. He can make parts metal, or just some like a very some sort of strange variation.
I just want to be like, you will be steel toe, you're very good on farm, no need for boots, save money.
You could just make big metal boots.
Not that I believe in money.
No, just feathers
is opiate of masses. Yes.
Yeah. So then they defeat the bad guys, of course, and this is where Colossus decides that he wants to stay in the Savage Land with his son.
Aww.
And not that there's going to be a connection between Nereal and him, but who knows? But, you know, not approaching it romantically, but hey, whatever.
But hey, you know, so whatever just, happens.
He's there again, like you were saying, as the big protector. I just picturing him as like some big Russian metal Conan, like just in Savage Land.
That like rules.
Ready to protect his son at any cost.
His sister gets a cool sword. It's time for him to get a cool sword.
Exactly. And that's my pitch.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. It's funny, right? Like these are three, I think, very good pitches, if I dare say it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And very, very different. Yeah.
And very different. And I think, like, you know, kind of our own sensibilities obviously, I think, influence that too. But it's like, there's a lot to this character that really isn't getting tapped into. I think that's very clear.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think, most importantly, you can put the Colossus of in front of anything and it's going to sound cool.
Oh, for sure. The Colossus of. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, this episode is the Colossus of podcasts. Because you know what? It might not seem like a lot, but there's a lot of depth to it.
The Colossus of Milwaukee.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
See, I would go to see that. That's a band, right? They're like Fountains of Wayne.
I know we already have the Fountains of Wayne. Episode.
Well, it's the drummer from Fountains of Wayne.
The Colossus of Wayne. Sorry, you were saying, Bri.
I don't remember. I don't need to remember.
Oh, shoot.
That was much more interesting. No. I don't know. I just appreciate that. I think these are all good pitches, and I feel like if Marvel is listening, tag Marvel, do all of them. Do all of them. All of them. All three. With us.
Yes, please.
And give us money.
I think the most important thing is give us money. Once again, this episode is sponsored by Rosencrantz Roasting Company.
Yay! Keeping the dreams alive.
And speaking of that, we want to thank them for sponsoring the show, and we want to thank ourselves. And who are we? The only proper way to thank someone is to know their name and what their website is.
I think we should do it in the order of our pitches.
Oh, that's fair.
There we go.
All right. Well, my name is Kyle Lees, and you can check out my stuff at thekylelees.com. I've got lots of like art prints, and I've got a couple comic strip collections, some t-shirts, some pins, some magnets, things that'll stick to your steel skin, but not to the front of my ultra modern fridge. They'll stick to the side.
No, sir.
I'm Bri. I'm Bri, and you can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. I've been writing and not drawing a lot of it lately. I've actually written out the ending, which I will probably not get to for a very long time. I had the ending already, but formally, like, wrote script formats, like, rough script formats. Yeah.
Wow.
And I know exactly all the beats. Like, I knew where it was going to end, like, roughly. Like, I had, like, the ending, but I'm just like, oh, shoot. I started to have, like, some ideas that I hope are good. So I'm dealing with that, and I'm also developing, like, kind of working out more of the last run up to that point, which was what's going to come up next pretty soon. But I mean, again, I haven't updated it probably in 2 months now because life is a damn disaster at all times.
It's worth waiting for because there's other priorities right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like things are, I have a lot of reasons to be happy. I'm very happy. Things are good, but, it's just been, there's just no time and I'm very rusty. Yeah. So I'm very excited to wrap it up. And speaking of wrapping it up, we're going to wrap up this outro. And
rusty, just like Colossus.
He's very sad. He's crying too much.
He is.
Turn into human form before you cry. You know this.
And I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut Like Astronaut on Instagrams. I am currently doing Mythology May on Instagram and Facebook. I've done that the past. I missed last year. I did something else last year. I can't even remember what it was. I think they were just like random drawings that were like a daily drawing challenge through the month. But the past few years before that, it's like I find interesting characters in mythology and put them to collect them together. I can speak.
Collect them together. In groups of 30.
In groups of 30 or 31. Kind of like an Inktober sort of thing. And then draw that character in an interesting way. So, yeah.
It's been some gorgeous damn work so far in this month. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed watching it.
Thank you.
Eventually, I'll try to take part in one of these things, but I can't compete, so check out all the things that Merc has drawn.
No need to compete. It's all fun. A big thank you, as always, to Ocean City Defender, who did the music and musical interstitial stuff. Check him out, K. Preston Merkley, under Ocean City Defender, not the video game. For the music. He does, like, kind of synth-pop-esque sort of stuff, but he also does like, soundtrack work and stuff like that. Very talented dude, and as always, a big thank you to him for putting that together.
Yeah. And if you made it all this way and you like the show, you must like it enough that maybe you want to tell somebody about it, maybe tell a friend, maybe write a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this. Anything you can do to help signal boost us really helps us out, because the more people we have listening to this, the happier we'll be. Tra-la-la.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we've been doing it a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And we do it for the love of it, because we love to do this. But you know what? It would be cool if a lot of people listened.
Yeah.
It would be even better.
Like, listen.
But either way, we're going to keep going.
I want to believe that a lot of people are interested in hearing three very good and interesting Colossus pitches. And if that doesn't exist, I don't want to live on this planet.
That's the end.
Yeah, that's the end.
Yeah. When you plan it, boom.